AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue. Fred Rogan and today Rob sitting in for Rodney Peet, Rob Parker on AM 570 LA Sports. You can hear Rob along with his buddy Chris Broussard every night on The Odd Couple. 4-7 in the West, 7-10 if you're listening in the East. All of it available on the iHeartRadio app. It is a terrific show and I want to congratulate you because I think year to year it is the fastest growing national radio show in the country, Rob. So congratulations.
Fred, thank you so much. Seriously, it's been great so far.
Are you eating?
No, not anymore.
What?
Hey, your show's on between noon and 3. I got to squeeze something in.
Fred, thank you so much.
Thank you. No. I'm good. No, Fred, the show is fun. Chris and I have a good time on the show. And you know what we love? The callers and the listeners get involved as well. So it's a fun thing. You know that.
Yeah.
And we love having you when you fill in for us.
I appreciate that very much. It's a great show. So listen on the app once in a while. I think you'll really enjoy it if you've not caught it. Now we've got the Rams and we've got who's going to play quarterback. And we've got our buddy Vinny Bonsignor, NFL insider and a dear friend. Vinny, thank you for coming on.
What's up, Vinny?
I know Rob is pleased you're here today.
Rob knows I love him, so it's always love. We have fun whatever platform we're appearing on together, so he knows that.
You know it. It's all love, even if I push back, even if I yell at you. I love you, Vinny. It's all good.
We're both from New York. So
forget about it. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know what I was just sitting here thinking when you said that, Vinny? And, Rob, think about this for a second. The people that at least I'm honored and fortunate enough to work with, we really are kind of a very close-knit group, and there's like a group of us that do this stuff together.
Right.
Vinny, you, Mark Medina. I mean, the guys that do the TV show and radio. And it just got me to thinking, we are pretty good friends, all of us.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about that. And, Fred, you are obviously kind of the focal point, you know.
Yes.
So, and I know I appreciate it, and I know I speak for everyone else. Just the helping hand that you've extended over the years and just everything else that comes along with it. So I appreciate it.
You know what?
Fred, I got to say this. You're selfless and for a big star that you are, and you are.
Oh, God, Rob.
No, seriously, Fred. You are. You're just a regular guy. You're not like, there's stories of guys who, you know, get caught up in who they are and what they've accomplished and done. And Vinny, you know what I'm talking about. You know the guys I'm talking about. And Fred, you're not that guy. You're just not.
Well, you know what? I am a really, really smart guy, and I'll tell you why. No, I'll tell you why. Because I have been fortunate enough to surround myself with very talented, very smart people. And any time, and I really believe that, you got to pay it forward. I've been blessed in our business. And, you know, if I wasn't doing this, God knows what I'd be doing. And I'm really lucky, the luckiest guy you'll ever meet in your life. I think I have a responsibility to help people that want to do it. And, both you guys. Rob, you came to town. I said, fill in on the radio show.
Yep.
And boom, you have a national radio show. Vinny, I put you on TV. Boom.
You don't even, yes, exactly. And you know, the desire of yours to play it forward, you've done that beyond what was even really necessary, and you continue to do that. And this might be the only thing we agree on all day in this segment. We may argue from this point on, but there's no argument that Fred, you really truly have been a blessing to a lot of people, man. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, that's very kind. And again, there's no accounting for taste. Okay, so let's get to it. Wolford or Goff? You know he knows, Vinny. What do you think?
Ah, boy. I mean, Again, I'll go back to it. And if Jared Goff is healthy, he has to play. He gives you the best opportunity. He just has played on these type of stages before. I know it didn't look good for him late this season. There were major, major hiccups. He didn't look too good, you know, on Saturday against the Seahawks. The ball was not coming out of his hand very well. But you know, if he's better, if he's improved, and you know, depending on where Wolford is health wise, I still stick with Jared Goff. I think he gives you the best opportunity to win.
I agree. I think that would be if he was okay to play and you don't play him. This is a guy who went to the Super Bowl. You could say whatever you want. And I know they only scored 3 points on an 89-yard field goal in that Super Bowl. But other than, you know, to get there, they had, what, the fifth highest ranking offense ever in the NFL to get there. And Jared Goff was a part of that. So I think you have to put him in if he's healthy and able to play, and he does give them the best chance, because you're going to have to put some points up. I know the defense is great, but, you know, you got to go on up against a quarterback who's been hot all year and been putting up big-time points. So you need points.
See, here's the problem. When you see what Wolford did in a very small sample size, his ability to move around, his ability to run, his ability to create plays. Now, Jared Goff gives you the best chance to win. But I think what Wolford has proven is your best chance to win right now may not be your greatest chance to win in years to come. And because you can see the difference with a guy who was studying to be an accountant and, you know, had not thrown an NFL pass because he looks like he can play. Because of that, maybe Vinny, the Rams have to reassess that quarterback position going forward.
Yeah, and knowing that organization, I think they do that at every position, maybe short of number 99 over there on the defensive line and number 20 at cornerback. You know, I'm not saying that they would make any kind of a move, but if something came along to make them a better team and give them a better chance at quarterback, I don't think the Rams would hesitate to look into that. Now, that's hard to do. There aren't many opportunities that come along where you can improve. When we are still talking about Jared Goff, who is, you know, an upper echelon quarterback. I think he's kind of slipped a little bit these last couple of years, but he still represents certainty and he represents a standard of play. And you can't move anywhere behind that. It always has to be either as good or better, and doing that is a little bit tricky. But you know, and as it relates to this game on Saturday, I think that they're going to have to run for a whole bunch of yards, and I think that defense might have to score a touchdown or two to keep up, because I the way Jared looked on Saturday, the way the ball was coming out of his hand, and we don't know where Wolford is health-wise, it might be a struggle in that passing game, and the weather conditions are also going to be a factor. So they're going to have to run the ball, and they're going to have to probably get some points from their defense to beat this Packers team.
Wait a minute. We have breaking news.
Uh-oh, Harden's traded.
He's been traded.
To where?
The Nets.
What?
Nets. Yeah.
For who?
We don't know. All we know is we've got word he has been traded to the Nets. And we are working on it. And later on, when we get done talking football, we'll get more into it. But we wanted to get that out immediately. James Harden forced his way out, Vinny. He got what he wanted. Now he needs to go on a diet. And he's going to the Nets. So you've got Kyrie, who of course is not there because he went to the party maskless. So he won't be there for a few more games. KD and James Harden.
Are we sure Kyrie is still there? I just wonder. I'm not saying that he was part of that trade, but
I would be shocked if he was a part of that trade because he went there with KD and that was the whole thing. So I would be surprised.
Yeah, no other names yet. So as soon as we get them, we'll let you know.
Interesting. Well, I mean I wasn't sold on Houston this year whatsoever. This is a bad looking Houston team, but it takes one more great player out of the Western Conference for the Clippers and the Lakers to have to deal with.
Well, one thing for sure, I feel much better depending on what the deal, excuse me, looks like. But I did bet Plaxico Burress. I bet him that the Nets. He bet me that the Nets wouldn't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, not to win the East or go to the championship, but to be one of the two best teams in the East. So he probably wants to pay off his bet. If
yeah, exactly. You know what immediately. I mean? Like,
he could just pay it off right now. Send me the $500 for the off-white Jordans, and I'll take it.
All right, now we have names. Kevin?
So it says four first-round picks, and Caris LeVert and Jared Allen are also being moved, but there could be another team or even two involved in the trade. So LeVert and Allen aren't necessarily going to Houston, but they are being moved as part of the trade. So it could be multiple teams involved.
Well, LeVert can be a starter for a lot of teams, and he can play. Garden. I mean, he can play. I bet you he's going to Houston. He's a good player.
Yeah, but what you now have is that's it. It's a rebuild. Thank you, John Wall. Congratulations, John Wall. Now in Houston, you're going to go through it again, buddy.
He went from NBA Siberia in Washington to NBA Siberia in Houston. Now,
yeah, it's a complete rebuild. Four first round picks. Unless they start moving those for guys that can play quickly. If I'm Houston, that's it. I'm going to start again. And
yeah, but you
just
know
rebuild.
What? They had no choice, and this is what happens when he dropped that bomb last night at the press conference after the Laker game. There's nothing you could do. He couldn't come to practice. He basically told his teammates he don't care about them or the organization or that it can't be fixed or he's not willing to put in the work. So once a guy does that publicly, you have no choice.
Kevin, you have more?
All right, so Woj just tweeted this. So Cleveland is the third team involved. So James Harden obviously is going to the Nets. Caris LeVert, Dante Exum, who people probably forgot is still in the league. He was a high pick some years ago. Rodionis Kuchis and four first-round picks. Exactly. four first-round picks.
Kuchis.
Yeah, are going to the Rockets. And a couple of pick swaps are involved there as well. And then Allen and as well as Torian Prince, they're going to the Cavaliers.
Wow.
So the Cavaliers gave up picks.
Yes.
There you go.
James Harden and Kevin Durant reunited. It's like 2000 and what? What would it have been? 2009? 2008? I mean, that's a ways back when you think about those two players playing together.
Yep.
Now you just crazy.
Yeah, the difference is there's no Russell Westbrook this go-round. There's Kyrie Irving.
Yes, exactly.
Well, this will, Rob, I think this will be really interesting.
This will be. This is a little surprising. I thought the Nets had a nice group and team depth and everything that they already had. I'm surprised that they really felt like Harden would be the piece, but I guess they just decided they couldn't pass it up, especially when he became, you know, even cheaper to get, you know, once he dropped the bomb. So maybe they just said, what is it going to take? Let's just do it. Let's go all in. And try to win, and they're going to have a good shot coming out of the East.
Is Steve Nash the right demeanor, the right coach to Matt? I mean, that's a lot of ego right there.
Yeah, if he's smart, he'll stay out the way and basically let them play.
Yeah, that's what he'll
Seriously.
Do.
Seriously. I mean, Vinny, what else can you do? You know that. You got three guys there. There's nothing you can do. So that's what I would.
Just try to get him to run some semblance of an offense so somebody can get open and everybody doesn't play hero ball 1-on-5 and let him go.
Yeah.
But if those guys got their heads screwed on right, it's a lot of talent. Let's just be honest.
Oh, no. There's a ton of talent. But now you have two head cases. You have Kyrie and Harden together.
Yeah, but Harden might not be a head case now that he's out of Houston because that's what he wanted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He put on the extra weight. He's doing the stuff, the dumb stuff, to try to get traded. That's what his plan was. He's ecstatic. He got what he wanted. He got what he wanted. Ultimately, the Nets were the team on his list, right? The first team.
Yeah. One more example. That's just one more example of a star player just imposing his will and saying, "I don't want to be here. I want to get traded." And the team really being put in a position where they got to trade him. I don't know many other sports where that happens as consistently as it does in the NBA.
Yeah, but I think Rob made a good point earlier, Vinny, and I think it applies to any business. If you really don't want to be here, we don't want you.
Right.
Yeah,
Vinny,
I completely agree.
If you're writing for me at a paper or something and you don't want to be there, I don't want you on the beat, right?
It's an excellent point because teams end up out of their own ego or their own power trip, you know, just letting a problem continue to fester and it comes at your demise. When, okay, let's cut ties. Let's figure out a new way. We don't want somebody here that doesn't want to be here and is making life difficult for everybody else. Let's get rid of that problem and restart it. And as it's, As we've seen in the NBA now, too, you could rebuild pretty quickly as well. You know, so.
All right, that's what I told my ex-wife before she threw my bags out the door.
All right, well, Kevin, we have another update.
Yeah, so the Indiana Pacers are also involved in this trade, and it looks like Victor Oladipo is also going to Houston.
Wow.
That's a blockbuster.
So they probably had to give up a pick or two for him.
Yeah, I don't have other details as far as Oladipo being involved, but he's another piece that's been involved. So this is a big move here. This is at least four teams now.
Well, I think the Cavs got short end of it.
Always.
They don't care. They probably said, you know what I mean? Where they are, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah, so they come up on the short end. Houston with Oladipo, that's a very good pickup.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, okay, they're going to try to rebuild. Their guards will be Oladipo and John Wall. And the Nets, well, we'll see what happens. And, Rob, we'll talk more about that. But, Vinny, let's get back to – and, Kevin, give us updates when you get them. But back to the Rams. So, you know, we're all in agreement that Goff should be the guy. Probably will be if he's healthy. But this game, unlike the last one, they're going to carry a third quarterback. That was suicidal, not carrying three quarterbacks last week, Vinny.
Yeah, you know, with your definitely playing with fire, and you know, with your backup quarterback where he was, you know, in terms of the thumb injury, and Wolford, who's a runner, you know, he's not the biggest guy, so you almost when you have a quarterback that runs it like John does, you know, kind of plays that backyard football style, you almost. You know, account for the fact that there's a possibility that he could get hurt, and that's exactly what happened. And they averted disaster barely, but I would think that this week you dress the three quarterbacks. I think you should allow teams to dress three quarterbacks regardless. If you want a good product out there, you don't want to get to a point where a punter has to come in there, and play 99.9% of the time. That third quarterback isn't hurting anybody or affecting anything whatsoever. Let them be on the active roster for the games just in case basis, so that the NFL doesn't look ridiculous and having a tight end play quarterback.
I know we make a big deal about the weather, but you know, Green Bay's used to playing in 30 degrees or snow or whatever. I don't know what the forecast is. I remember a couple of weeks ago when they played the Titans in the snow, and I don't know what they put up 40 points, and it made it, and they almost had two rushers for 100 yards each or whatever. I think there is an advantage to a team used to playing into that. What do you think, Vinny?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to recollect the last time the Rams played in you know, like real severe weather like that. I don't remember when I was covering them being in that kind of situation. So if it's one of those really bad Green Bay days, that's gonna have an effect, and that goes. You know, back to what I was saying earlier, as far as getting the run game going and you know, being consistent, moving the chains, extending drives, making sure Aaron Rodgers stays right over there on the sideline as much as possible. But I do like the one thing that I really do like, the Rams defense is legit. That travels wherever you go. I do believe they can make life difficult for Aaron Rodgers. And I think with that secondary, that's the thing that we all focus on Aaron Donald, and rightfully so. But the secondary of the Rams is as good as it gets in the NFL across the board, and it's not just Jalen Ramsey. There's a lot of good players back there, and they do an excellent job, and we see it week, but you know, on a weekly basis. That's a secondary that Aaron Rodgers, I'm not quite sure, has faced that level of secondary, and on top of that, you got Aaron Donald in his face. I would not be surprised if there's a mistake or two made by Aaron Rodgers in this game.
Really? So you're picking the Rams to win this?
I think the Packers will win it, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Rams make this a really competitive game with that defense and maybe sneak out of Green Bay with a win. I'm a firm believer in that defense, and the running game came back to life last week against Seattle. If they can be on track in that regard, I think that's enough to go to Green Bay and win a big game. Especially without the fans there. That's a huge component, too. You know, when you're able to go on the road nowadays, like they went in Seattle, that's a different game if the Seattle crowd is there. I'm just saying, it's that they make that much of a difference, as does the Green Bay crowd. Not having to deal with that along with the weather and Aaron Rodgers and everybody else, it just makes things a lot easier. And so I'm not going to be shocked if the Rams win that game on Saturday.
Vinny, the Raiders got a defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley. He had been rumored. He had a relationship with John Gruden. Did they get a coach or did they get their man?
Oh, they got their guy. He was at the top of their list. Once Anthony Lynn, got fired, by the Chargers, that made Gus available. So the availability factor, his history with John Gruden hired him off the staff at North Dakota State in 2006 to be his linebacker coach in Tampa Bay. And then the rest is history for Gus Bradley. He went on and had success at a few other places, including the Chargers. His defenses with the Chargers have been good. Last year was a little bit of an outlier, but otherwise the Chargers' defense has been stout under Gus Bradley. And on top of that, he brought Ron Miles, his defensive backs coach with the Chargers, and Richard Smith, his linebackers coach with the Chargers. They're both coming to Las Vegas with him. And Miles in particular, if you look at his track record going back to 2000, it's like eight straight years of Pro Bowl defensive backs that have worked under him and that he's helped develop. So that was kind of a coup as well, bringing in Gus and Ron Miles.
What about the – go ahead, Frank.
No, go ahead, Rob.
I was going to ask about the coaching search with the Chargers. What are we hearing?
Well, they're definitely doing their due diligence. They've interviewed a lot of candidates, a lot of good candidates. There was a report that Urban Meyer might be on their radar. I was told.
I thought it was a done deal in Jacksonville. All they do is got to do is sign the paperwork. No.
You would think, but if you're Urban Meyer and you're looking at, I mean, obviously Trevor Lawrence is going to be there, and obviously that's a pretty big thing. But to stay in California, to stay in the Los Angeles area where he's been working a lot. To work with Justin Herbert, you've got Derwin James and Joey Bosa and a fairly star-studded defense and offense. That defense just wasn't healthy last year. That kind of let them down. But if they're back to health with Derwin James, one of the best in the business, it's an attractive job, especially with Justin Herbert being in place. So if the Chargers wanted to get involved with an Urban Meyer, I think that he would be very open to hearing what they had to say.
Yeah, but if you want to be involved with them, being open means you got to open your checkbook. I don't think they're going to spend that.
Yes, I think that we've seen numbers like $12 million a year,
yeah.
And that's a lot of money. But again, with the Chargers, not only do you have this young face of the franchise in your quarterback, but to create some buzz in Los Angeles to be able to bring in a guy like Urban Meyer. No disrespect to any of the coaches that they're interviewing. There's a lot of quality amongst that group, but Urban Meyer brings some swagger, name factor, excitement. So I think that you'd be getting a really good coach. It's the experiment of Urban Meyer going to the NFL, the unknown of that. It's his name, this great coach, this great college coach, pairing him with Justin Herbert. I mean, that creates buzz, and there's no question about it. So I think that would, for those reasons, he's somebody that if I'm the Chargers, I'm definitely taking a look at that.
Okay. Vinny, thanks for coming on. Thanks for your insight on basketball.
Yes, sir.
You might be our NFL insider, but there are those that remember you've covered basketball for many years.
Thank you very much for remembering that, Fred. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me. And Rob, all the best, man, always.
I know. Hey, Vinny, how tough was it to, covering those games when they had to get the ball out of the peach basket? It's a time, right?
Very good, Rob. Very good. The parting shot.
You know it. All right, Vinny, stay well, my man.
You guys too.
Okay, Rob, the James Harden trade broke right in the middle of our conversation with Vinny. So when we come back, Kevin, let's outline the whole thing, get into it, and then there's a possibility of guys not even wanting to play anymore this season. But we'll get into that as well.
Let us give you money. Your chance to win $1,000 is right now. Yeah. Text the nationwide keyword PAY to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. Once again, that's PAY to 200-200. Good luck.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays noon to 3.
That's how I like to do it, you know what I'm saying? My real name is Dexter. I got a lot more diamonds, too. I just got new diamonds, by the way.
Oh, whoa. Dexter.
Hello. Baby girl, what you doing? Fred Rogan and Rob Parker in today for Rodney on AM 570 LA Sports. So we found out at about 10 minutes after the hour, 20 minutes ago, Rob, that James Harden has officially been traded. And I guess because the Lakers played the Rockets last night and because the Lakers were in town and we carried the sound of Harden after the game, basically saying, I'm finished. I mean, this can't be fixed. He threw in the towel, said, no mas, I'm out. Publicly for the first time, he goes, that's enough. I'm done. They moved him immediately. Now, Kevin, there are many teams involved in this. Let's run it down.
Well, I'll just tell you how the trade stacks up, at least as of now, and there might be still be more moving parts.
Right.
But as of now, the Houston Rockets are getting Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, Rodionis Kurucs, who I can't pronounce his name, and I probably butchered it. Three first-round picks from Brooklyn.
By the way, he'll never know you butchered it.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's averaging a whole 0.5 points per game this year, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Okay.
Three first-round picks from the Nets. Four pick swaps with the Nets. So that means, you know, four different occasions. If we have a higher pick, we can flop them. Also, a Milwaukee Bucks first-rounder that was actually owned by the Cleveland Cavaliers that they sent to the Rockets. The Nets are getting James Harden and a second-rounder from the Cavaliers. Cavaliers are getting Jared Allen, who's a good young shot blocker, and I think he's only 21 or 22.
He's a good player.
He is.
I like him.
And Torian Prince, and the Indiana Pacers are getting Caris LeVert and a second-round pick. That is the trade, as I understand it, as of this moment in time.
Oh, the Pacers get LeVert.
Yeah, because there's moving parts. So, like, there's two separate trades. So once the Rockets got Victor Oladipo, and then they flipped it and got Caris LeVert back to the Indiana Pacers in a second-rounder. So, yes, that's how the trade lines up as of now.
Okay, Rob, when you look at it, what does it mean for the NBA?
I'll tell you even more local
what
it means for the Lakers. I think the Lakers just lost the NBA Finals. Right here, right now, Fred. I think the Lakers just, if I'm LeBron James and I'm Anthony Davis and I just see what happened in Brooklyn, I'm not saying they're going to throw the towel in and think they can't win, but there is a legitimate team with three star players, if they're healthy and if they're in the right frame of mind, who can do damage and win an NBA title. That's what I think I look at right now. And this will be the second time. LeBron is the one who's always getting credit for players moving around and being empowered to do what they want to do and play with who they want. And here's another case where this can wind up that what he did in Miami winds up biting him in the butt again. It bit him when KD went to Golden State and beat LeBron twice in the finals there. And it could have the same ramifications this time as now the Nets have to be a favorite. I mean, I think the Nets will be the favorite to win. I think that's how good that team is if everybody's healthy, if James Harden stops eating and stops going to the strip club, you know what I mean, and decides that he wants to get back to the guy who averages 30 points a game in the NBA. KD, we've seen when Kyrie's playing, he's a great player. He just got to get his head screwed on. But they have a dynamic team, and I think right now they're the favorite to win the NBA Finals.
All right, well, let's slow down a little bit. You got to slow down a little bit.
All right. That's my immediate reaction.
Okay. And here's my reaction. First, everybody's head's got to be screwed on straight. That's the first thing. Second, how many balls are they going to play with? Five? How's everybody going to get their shot?
They made it work in Golden State when KD joined Steph and Klay Thompson.
Yeah, but that was different,
Rob.
They made it work. I understand, but that was different. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are very different players than James Harden. James Harden needs the ball, wants the ball, wants to shoot the ball. He'll shoot 35 shots a game. I mean, how many balls are they going to play with? Just because you've brought in more scoring and you've played
the name game,
but they have James Harden, now they have him. How are they going to move the ball around enough to keep everybody happy? Because I'll ask you this question. We got one shot. It's the end of the game. Who do you want to take it? You got three guys on the team. You want Kyrie Irving to take it? You want James Harden to take it? Or you want Kevin Durant to take it?
Either one of those guys can take it. We've seen KD do it, and we saw Kyrie do it when he beat the Warriors. He made a big three to win the championship on that comeback. So I'm just saying, and we know Harden has struggled in the playoffs, but that guy is a dynamic scorer. We know that. Fred, it's just like pick your poison. There's enough guys. And don't forget, Harden already played with KD, and instead of Kyrie, it was Russell
Westbrook.
Westbrook. So yeah. They had three guys. They went to the NBA Finals. You remember that. They won game one. KD was fouled by LeBron James in game two. There was no call at the end of that game. They lose game two, and then the Cavaliers roll after that. Miami rolls after that and wins the championship. So my point is that this is like a reunion of a three-headed monster that got to the finals once. The only difference is no Westbrook. It's Kyrie.
Okay. And that being said, since you think they're going to win the title, now, first reaction, and, you know, we'll also give you the opportunity in a couple of weeks to change your mind.
No, I'm just saying first reaction. If I'm LeBron today and Anthony Davis, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Not only did he got what he wanted. And now the Brooklyn Nets have a three-headed monster. People in New York, let me tell you, all those Knicks fans who've been waiting for 50 years for them to win again, they probably just shrunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they're the biggest losers. They're the biggest losers.
Right.
Of the day.
They are the biggest losers, Fred. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
The New York Knicks today are the biggest losers.
Yeah, that would be like the Clippers going out. Well, they tried, actually, with Kawhi and Paul George.
Well, yeah.
They tried. But that would be like the Clippers usurping the Lakers and going out and signing the names and those guys that can put them over the top. But if I look at Brooklyn now and I look at the Lakers, so they have three, the Lakers have two, but the Lakers may not need a bona fide start, but they have guys that are very good, Rob, that can play, obviously.
Oh, they're the defending champs. I'm not saying that they don't have a shot, Fred. All I'm saying is this is what we've seen. This to me reminds me, because the only difference, too, when you talk about the Clippers and maybe and Brooklyn, is that the two guy Harden is still looking for his first championship. But those other guys have won before. KD has beaten LeBron, you know, before. I think that's a big factor for a guy who had to make big shots in big games against LeBron already when he was with Cleveland. So KD to me is that number one player. It's not like you're the Nets, you're getting Harden and you're trying to win a championship and that guy couldn't win a championship before. You got two of your three guys are already champions. I think that Harden is starving for one. This would be his crowning glory to scoring all those points all these years, and it would validate him. He has a reason to play better and to do whatever it takes, because, Fred, you don't want to play your whole career and never have a chance of winning, and people say, yeah, he was a great scorer. He scored all those points, but he never won. Here's his chance.
This is his chance.
Yeah, right? It's right there.
Yeah, this is his chance right now. He's been put in a position where he has his best opportunity to succeed. Again, it's always he's number one. He's number one, Rob. He's the guy. He's not the guy anymore. There are three guys. And I'm just wondering how ultimately that will work. Will it work initially? Sure. Of course it'll work initially because they have to make it work. But when you get into the dog days here and move down the road and all three have played together for a while, I'm really concerned about are there enough balls to go around for everybody to do what they want to do?
I would agree with this. That's legit, but you know what you need more than that? You need talent. You're not putting together a boys' choir and everybody has to get along. You need talent to win, and that's what the Nets have. You cannot poo-poo the talent on that team. And ultimately, if you stack up the rosters and look at it, they're going to be formidable. They're going to be a team that has a great shot. I thought they had a great shot before Harden. I did too. Don't you? Now you think Harden's going to get his act together. There's no way he's going to Brooklyn to be 20 pounds overweight. That's not watch. Watch and see.
The one thing I will say, remove the Lakers in the NBA championship. It's a bad day for the Knicks. It's a bad day for the Bucks. It's a bad day for the Celtics. I think I had Brooklyn winning the East as well, but it's a bad day for those teams in the East.
And it's a bad day for the NBA. I'm going to say it. It's a bad day for the NBA. Because what you just saw, Fred, was a guy who, despite all the money and what the Rockets poured into him and his organization, decided he didn't want to be there anymore, went against team rules and protocol, ostracized his teammates publicly, made him basically hurt his trade value, right? Even though we knew he was going, what did I say? There's only a handful of guys who can do what he does.
Yep.
So he was going to get moved, and he was going to go to where he wanted to go. It was just going to happen. Some bad team wasn't going to take him because he might not go there or play, you know, and disrupt whatever you have. So he got what he wanted, and the NBA again looks at it and goes, here we go with another super team. It's just not the, and you know, what you want. And there's damage. There's damage all throughout the league, starting with the Rockets. And you're right, the other team, the Celtics, and some the Philadelphia and Toronto and these other teams, what are they looking at today saying, like, we don't have a shot?
Well, the Sixers were in the mix. And the reports were Ben Simmons was one of the names being mentioned. Maybe when it was all said and done, they didn't want to surrender or had the capital and assets in picks and things like that that New Jersey wanted. So the 76ers were taking a very serious look at James Harden. Ben Simmons was the name, the marquee name mentioned in that. But when it came right down to it, James Harden is going to the Nets, and the East is going to be a very different place.
Rogan and Rodney, AM 570, LA Sports.
And this year's saying, why are we even playing at all? What are we doing? Well, we'll get into that.
Lamar Jackson takes it to the house.
The divisional round is here.
27-0 in the first.
Red Rogan.
Boom!
AM 570, LA Sports.
All right, Fred Rogan and Rob Parker. Today, Rob sitting in for Rodney on AM 570 LA Sports. Jovan Buha, who covers the Lakers for The Athletic, jump on here next hour, and we'll find out if his assessment of Rob's feeling on the Lakers is accurate or not, and that they've just lost the NBA title. Hey, Rob, can I just play something real quickly for you? You know, the NBA has put new protocols in place to try to battle COVID-19. Listen to what George Hill had to say.
I mean, I'm a grown man, so I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to go see my family, I'm going to go see my family. They can't tell me I have to stay in a room 24/7. If it's that serious, then maybe we shouldn't be playing. But, you know, it's life. No one's going to be able to just cancel their whole life for this game. And that's how I think about it. I mean, we want to play the game. This is what we love to do. But at the same time, if we're casting all these rules of this and that, maybe they need to reevaluate what we're doing. If it's that serious where you're telling guys they can't leave a room. I just don't understand some of the rules as far as, you know, we can sweat 48 minutes with the guy next to us and the team next to us, but we can't talk to him after the game. It makes no sense.
What do you think of that?
I think he has some valid points, but also he can opt out. And that's what really probably people should have the right to opt out. And if he doesn't want to and he wants to be with his family, and there were players, David Price from the Dodgers, right? Didn't want to be a part of it, Fred, right?
Right.
With a chance to win a World Series. He gave up his salary. He gave up a chance of winning a ring with the Dodgers. And if George Hill doesn't like the rules that are agreed upon with the union and the league, then he should bow out. And I wouldn't be mad at him. I wouldn't be mad at anybody who decides that playing a game and making millions of dollars is not more important than seeing my family. I can't argue with that guy.
Look, I think this. In Los Angeles County, we know how bad things are. And we know around the country, some of the rules are relaxed. We also know that the virus can spread, but a lot of this really, in a situation that he's talking about, is optics. In other words, after the game, you can't talk to somebody. Well, you probably should. You can. You just were out there with them, and they've all been tested. So that makes no sense. That's just optics.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That it really, that the NBA put that out because you wouldn't be in the game, right, unless you were tested. So that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, but what they're saying is stuff like, hey, when you're on the road, because we don't want you to somehow inadvertently come in contact with someone who has it, stay in your room. When you're on the road, what we're saying is, we know you love to have guests up to visit, but it better be a family member or, as they say, a longtime friend. And it's your definition of what longtime friend is. Longtime friend could be 15 minutes. I just met him, but right. I feel like I've known him my whole life. So that could be a longtime friend or friend.
Well, the problem is, Fred, and you know this, these guys are used to, these are multi-millionaires, okay? Used to a certain lifestyle. They're young guys, a lot of money in their pockets, groupies, friends, whatever you want to call them, you know, and it's hard to ask a guy who's lived a certain life to go back to his room and play video games or watch CNN for the rest of the night. I get it. It's a tough sell.
Yeah, but again, you have the option. You have the option of saying, I'm not going to play this year. You can
do that.
You know
what? I would have asked George Hill, if I was a reporter, I would have asked him, well, why haven't you opted out, or are you thinking about it? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I would like to have heard from him.
Yeah, and what he would have probably said is, but they just increased the protocols. They just told us what we should already know,
right?
Basically.
No, I get it, but I would say, okay, now knowing that, because obviously you're coming out saying you're a grown man and you're going to do whatever you want to do. That's not how it works, though. Not when you sign up with the players' union, Fred. Not when you agree to follow. Everybody can't do their own thing. That's why you have somebody who represents you to speak as one. So once the union has agreed to these rules, either you have to abide by them or you need to step out and take a pause and say you don't want to play and you want to spend time with your family.
Okay, Jovan Buha, Laker insider with The Athletic, will jump on next hour and we'll figure out the impact of this James Harden deal to the Nets. Does it mean anything for the Lakers, as Rob suggests? When we come back, we'll get you caught up on what's been happening to the very second with It's Lit.